Opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O., informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
Good afternoon. This is David O., and you are in the know. Well, with me. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. You know, fantastic week, of course. And let me say again, we have got some fascinating, excellent people to inform us and tell us about what things that are going on. So first, we're going to be talking to Zwe Kwok, and she is an exceptional person. Listen, let's start with this. Harvard University, graduated with honors, I think a full scholarship, Wharton MBA. So she's certainly a very intelligent person, but she has got her challenges. And in facing life's challenges, as we all do, she has come up with a way to rewire your brain. And that is for a better sense of happiness, well-being, security, to be your very best. And we're going to be talking to with her about her program and her book, Calm Clarity. And we will be spotlighting Aviance. This is a three-member R&B band. They're very exciting. Three young ladies from Philly. They are the bad girls of R&B, but their songs are actually not really bad. They're great. So we'll figure out what's going on with them. And then we'll be talking to Brooke McDowell. She's the Director of Advancement at Alpha Care. They do free pregnancy tests and ultrasound. It's just part of the work that they do. It's free, it's available, and we'll learn more about them. Hey, if you'll remember, and if you don't remember, last week we were talking with Anita O., a reporter for CBS3, Eyewitness News, about broadcast journalism, her journey, you know, just a delightful conversation, and how she ended up doing what she does. And then we met Jillian Pertle, CEO of Royal One Productions. They've got something coming up, Guys and Dolls. And then we were talking to Melanie Nieves, marketing and events for Concilio, the Council of Spanish-Speaking Organizations. They just had their Hispanic Fiesta on the on Penn's Landing, and they're coming up with more events. These are free and open to the public. Well, some of them are, you know, Puerto Rican Day Parade, but, you know, they do a fundraiser. Their gala, you know, is coming up as well. And the reason I mention it is because you can catch that show and all our other shows, all our wonderful guests, by going to the website, www.dbam.com. And probably after 4 o'clock, you get a podcast of this show as well. Well, let me start by thanking this show's sponsor, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They do physical therapy, pain management, chiropractic care. They're excellent. They're at the Land Title Building, 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800. Right here in Center City, Philadelphia. I've been to their place. Wonderful work they do. So check them out. And, of course, I thank them for making this show happen so that we can get this information to all of you out there. Well, let me start by introducing you to Zwe. Zwe was pretty much raised in Philadelphia. But before that, she was in a refugee camp. She was an infant, and then she arrived in Philadelphia, coming from war-torn area. And, you know, she ends up going to Harvard, which is fantastic, full scholarship. What a wonderful thing. But the pressure and the stress and things were just crushing on her, and she was forced to confront challenges. And with that, let me introduce you to Zwe.
Hi there. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. Now, listen, most people would say, like, wow, Harvard full scholarship. What's the problem with that?
Well, the issue was that I came from a very low-income part of Philadelphia, grew up in an area that was riddled with violence, especially gang violence. And before that, my family had escaped from Vietnam when I was a baby, and I underwent a significant degree of trauma during that escape journey, and nobody ever thought maybe I should get treated for this. It never occurred to me either.
It was something you were pretty much unaware of until you got to Harvard. What happened at Harvard?
But Harvard, that was my first immersion into an affluent setting, and it was culture shock. It was like being dropped down on a foreign planet and having to maneuver on my own. There was no mentorship. There was no hand-holding. And people spoke in ways that I wasn't used to. They spoke about topics and subjects I wasn't used to hearing about. But I think the hard part was because most Harvard students are perfectionistic and neurotic about achievement.
Yes.
And it was a pretty self-absorbed type of place.
Mm.
And so when I was in the inner city, even though I was surrounded by violence, it was the normal, and people were more compassionate and grounded and real because we were all going through this together. When I got to Harvard, it was a totally different culture, where one that was low on empathy, and it was a sink or swim environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it slowly dawned on me that it was really hard to keep up with my classmates because they came from the most privileged elite families, and they had families with opening doors for them, making connections, and they just had a lot of social capital and cultural capital, which I lacked. And so I realized it wasn't an even playing field.
Yes.
And as that stress piled up, symptoms of PTSD started coming out because I suddenly had no social support network. I was on my own, and I began to like have nightmares, dissociating, panic attacks. I remember feeling guilty for leaving my family behind,
mm-hmm.
and always when the phone was about to ring, wondering if there was like a crisis. And luckily there wasn't, but there was always this fear that something was happening at home.
Were you surprised by this? Because, you know, here you are at Harvard, and all of a sudden you're crying, you're isolated, you're semi-dysfunctional. Was that a shock?
It was, because I was the top student in my
class. You're pretty much altogether woman until you got to Harvard.
Yeah. You know, I went to Central. I was considered one of the star students, and everyone had high expectations of me.
Was that pressure on you when you got to Harvard and you said, wow, I can't compete with these people. They have these tremendous advantages that I don't have. How can I compete? Was that pressure?
Yes, I think it was hard for me to imagine what would happen to me after Harvard, because I think people had sky-high expectations.
Mm.
But I realized that Harvard wasn't teaching me life skills.
Right.
And everything was very academic. It was oriented towards becoming a PhD.
How did you find that somehow your prior traumatic experiences from the war and other things were somehow connected to what was happening to you at Harvard? How did you discover that?
So I think I hit rock bottom. I had become pretty self-destructive with the panic attacks, and I decided it was time to seek help because I didn't know what I would do to myself. And I remember going to see actually, I had to go to the ER because I was having a panic attack that wouldn't stop. And then they gave me anti-anxiety medication, which actually worked and calmed me down. I said, maybe I should look into this drug thing, right? It might make a difference.
Right.
And so I decided to see a psychiatrist, and he had me walk him through my life story, and when he heard everything I'd been through, he was just shocked, and he said, do you have any idea that what you went through before you were 2 years old could have impacted brain development and all the other trauma you experienced, you know, growing up in a violent section of Philadelphia, that just compounds that trauma even further? So all of that's now affecting the way, you know, as you're coming into adulthood, way your brain is changing, and it might underlie these symptoms that you have. And it was devastating to hear that, but it was also a big relief because I realized it made me change my story from, oh my God, I'm not keeping up, I'm sinking, I can't swim with, you know, the most elite families, to being like, damn, I got here, given all the obstacles that were made it almost impossible for everyone else to get here.
Mm-hmm.
I broke through those barriers, but it was still heartbreaking because I needed my brain the most at this point in my life when I was at Harvard, and it was falling apart.
Right. And so you somehow started focusing on the function of the brain as a way of helping you cope with the problems that you were facing. Tell us about that.
Sure. When I asked the psychiatrist, was there a cure or treatment for what I was going through, he said no. Unfortunately, that was the early days of trauma therapy. People didn't really understand it. So he said we could prescribe antidepressants, see if they work, but there's no guarantee. You have to cycle through different ones at different doses, and maybe they might work. And so I was like, okay, let's try that. And he said, well, also we recommend therapy. And going through that process, I realized the drugs was making a difference. Neurotransmitters matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the therapy was helping me realize, even though it wasn't really – oriented towards trauma, but it made me see that my own patterns and belief systems and habits were affecting the way I was using my brain, which was making creating negative spirals. And if I could change my, you know, neural wiring, I could change those patterns, right? Or by breaking those patterns, I would change my neural wiring. And so I decided to start this experiment I call mind hacking, which is using science to try to enhance your life and create the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical well-being, alignment, and integration. And as I went through this process, I was like, well, what am I doing that's making my brain struggle even more? So I needed to sleep more because I was pulling all-nighters like most college students did. I had to stop drinking. I had to stop eating junk food. I had to exercise more. So all these basic changes worked. I decided, you know, because different parts of your brain correspond to your life experience, I had so many negative experiences that my brain had a really strong negativity bias, but I hadn't experienced a lot of joy and laughter, and that part of my brain was relatively weak. So I decided to feed myself comedies.
Did you date funny guys?
I tried, but they weren't that funny when you started to date
them.
They
weren't that funny? Like the radio hosts here?
Well, you weren't available at that time.
No, how did you fill your life with laughter, humor? How did you make it more bright?
Well, there were improv comedy shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I watched comedy movies and videos. I looked at jokes on the internet. So, you know, I think at that time, Google was already started. So there was ways of getting this information
online.
So you
were purposely trying to light up the part of your brain that laughs, that enjoys, that finds things funny and humorous?
And most importantly, I realized there was this voice in my head. I call it the inner Godzilla, which whenever it got upset or it felt threatened, you know, it would want to smash things or disappear, just like Godzilla.
Right.
Eventually, I realized that's a part of the brain, which I now call brain 1.0. It's associated with the amygdala, your freeze, fight, flight system. And anytime I felt unsafe, which was a lot because I had so much trauma, this part would take over. And then it was an effort to try to strengthen this other part of my brain that I call the inner sage or brain 3.0 to become stronger, so that was a part responsible for feeling self-mastery and well-being, that I was an agent who could influence my life, that I wasn't a victim. It was part of me that allowed me to have compassion and empathy for others, even if they came from different backgrounds. It was a part of me that got me into Harvard in the first place, and it had just become weaker at Harvard because there's this other part of the brain, which I call brain 2.0. It's your reward system, your acquisition system. I call it the inner team wolf. Mm-hmm. Whenever, you know, there's a chance of competing to win a prize, right, or to chase immediate gratification, like that part would take over. It was like the type A overachiever where I was addicted to achievement and status.
Sounds like the selfish, kind of insecure person.
Yeah, but at Harvard,
not happy when others succeed.
Brain 2.0 was so strong that it weakened brain 3.0.
And what is brain 3.0?
So brain 3.0 is what I call the inner sage, the part that allows you to be your best self, the highest expression of who you can be, to live your core values and aspirations. Whereas brain 2.0 looks at what's being rewarded at this moment.
It's all about me.
How do I get the biggest prize? How do I get the biggest share of the pie?
Yes.
And because Harvard was oriented towards that mode, you know, and that was why when I couldn't get the prizes, I would then sink into inner Godzilla mode. So I realized life, if you're not in brain 3.0, you're going to be in this roller coaster ride between brain 1.0 and 2.0. So when you get what you want, it feels awesome, you're high, but then that feeling can never last. The dopamine circuit's desensitized to that, and you have to chase again. The next thing you chase, if you don't get it, your inner Godzilla comes out. And that's how I was living at Harvard, and I knew I had to stop that. So I decided to stop benchmarking, comparing myself with other people, or realizing when I had a sense of envy that I was in brain 2.0, and I needed to shift myself back into brain 3.0, because there's such this herd effect, you know, in a lot of the top schools as well, when there's like a prized class or a prized internship or full-time job. Everyone's chasing that.
Yes.
And you forget why you went to school in the first place, and maybe it was not even your purpose to get that internship, right, or to get that, go into that industry that everyone else is trying to get into.
Yeah, one of the things I think people would say is what you're describing is brain 2.0, that ambition, that covetousness, that desire that does drive people and sometimes is very positive because it makes you produce. But in your case, it was destructive. You were failing, you were unhappy, you were isolated, you were dysfunctional. And so you had to deal with how to get to brain 3.0 without medication.
Well, I mean, I think the medication did help me,
yes.
But I grew up without health care. And mm-hmm. while I was at college, I did have health care, and there was a deadline to get off because as
right.
soon as I left Harvard, I would need to wean myself because I wouldn't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure I wouldn't relapse. And so that's why I hit the libraries and did the research, is because I didn't want to be dependent on medication or therapy to be my best self.
Mm.
It was useful at the time, but I did not have the financial means to continue to be dependent on it either.
So let me jump forward, because after Harvard, graduating with honors, you get to one of the best business schools in the world, Wharton MBA. And you go on to a very successful career where it's intense, competitive, you do well. And you don't tell people about your experience because of the negative stigma. You don't kind of share what's going on. But then you make a change, and now you've got a book and a program where you try to bring your experiences in a methodical way, in a programmatic way, to help everyone from traumatized kids to corporate leaders to be able, in a scientific way, be the best person they can be.
Yeah, well, I realized that being in Brain 3.0 is important across the socioeconomic spectrum. And while you said earlier that being in Brain 2.0 can be a positive, we have so many examples of people who are at the pinnacle of success in Brain 2.0, and yet they're so miserable and unhappy inside.
Suicidal sometimes. Many stars and people we just envy and say they've made it. They're popular, they're happy, they're talented, they're wealthy, and then poof. They commit suicide.
And the truth is, Brain 2.0, it's the pursuit of happiness, but it's not happiness.
Mm.
Because you pursue something in a state of anxiety. It's like an itch that you have to scratch while
driving.
Yeah,
you know, I tell my wife that before she met me, she was in Brain 2.0.
And the problem is that it's not the circuit that leads to genuine happiness.
Mm.
You actually have to cultivate Brain 3.0 to experience genuine fulfillment and joy. And when people don't understand that, they will waste so much of their life in 2.0 chasing happiness outside them, giving power to society's status symbols and rewards, and not realizing that they have that choice. You should be using Brain 3.0 to guide Brain 2.0, to choose the carrots and the goals that actually matter to you, that bring meaning and fulfillment to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the powerful thing is, once we do this workshop with people, one, they realize that they do have an inner sage. We were just at Omega, and we had this woman from Florida in her 70s, and we asked everyone to share, you know, their key takeaway at the end of the workshop. She said, for me, it was discovering at the age of 70 that I do have an inner sage.
Mm.
There's a part of you that can give you inner wisdom. You don't have to listen to the inner Godzilla or the inner teen wolf. Everyone can tap into this inner sage. And when we run this for inner city teens, it's so powerful because the kids will say, when I'm in Brain 3.0, that's the real me. That thing that comes out in Brain 1.0, Brain 2.0, those monsters, those aren't really who I am. And then they are intrinsically motivated to show the world who they really are, to express their higher qualities.
Yeah, we had a guest who never made it on the show, but that's basically what he said. He said, listen, I discovered I was in prison for being someone who I am not. I was being someone the streets wanted me to be. I was that person. And then 5 years into my prison sentence, I'm like, hey, I'm in here and it's not even me. I was pretending to be somebody else, and that's what got me in here. Here's who I really am. Now, how do you turn this into a program where you can help people get to that level of inner fulfillment and security?
Well, we already did.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think for me, I realized when I finished Harvard, my dream in life was to start some sort of nonprofit organization to teach this type of leadership skill to people overcoming extreme adversity, to make sure more people understood that they had the intrinsic leadership potential just by being resourceful and surviving in the inner city day after day. But they didn't realize that it was inside them and how to harness that to be the best person and make a positive impact on the world. And so the goal was, for me, was to realize, you know, my gift was that I navigated a broken system without letting it break me. Mm. How do we multiply that so more people can go through these dysfunctional systems that we call the public school system, right? And not let the schools make them more dysfunctional.
Right.
Right. And I think that is really what the kids are looking for, too, how to create this or develop their emotional immune system, their psychological immune system, so the negativity that surrounds them doesn't become internalized, so they can maintain a sense of hope and understand that they have this personal power to lift people up.
Right? Well, I'm looking at the cover of your book, A Mind Hacker's Guide to Shifting into Brain 3.0. It's called Calm Clarity, How to Use Science to Rewire Your Brain for Greater Wisdom, Fulfillment, and Joy. And I'm sure if you Google Calm Clarity, you'll be able to take a look at this book, purchase it. How do people get in touch with you for your programs, to get involved? Where do they go?
Sure. Please come to our website. It's calmclarity.org. That's CalmClarity.org. My name, Zoe Kwok, is actually spelled D-U-E, like do. And the last name is Q-U-A-C-H. You can Google me. We have articles on Medium. The website has a lot of resources. We have meditations people can try online, articles. If you subscribe to our newsletter, we send out weekly inspiration. We also are about to start a campaign for micro-mindfulness practices mm-hmm. that people can do if they follow us on social media. It'll just take a couple minutes or a minute a day.
Okay. Well, Zoe Kwok, thank you for... That's how it's spelled. Zwe Kwok. It's spelled like do quatch.
Yes.
But it's Zwe Kwok. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Calm Clarity. Listen, everybody, stay tuned. After this commercial break, we'll be meeting Aviance.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
Here at Sonny's Famous Cheese Steaks, we have the utmost respect for the founding fathers of our fair city's most celebrated sandwich. But we also understand the inevitability of time marching on. So come to Sonny's in Old City for a revolutionary take on the classic. And try the cheesesteak that Alan Richman of GQ magazine named the best in Philadelphia. And declare your inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of cheesiness. Sonny's Famous Steaks, 228 Market.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness. From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, we are back. We were talking to Zwei Kwok, CEO, founder of Calm Clarity. Check her out. Google her, her book and her programs of well-being, security, happiness, science of rewiring your brain. Well, listen, right now we are going to meet two of three young ladies, and they are Avians. They are the bad girls of R&B, but there's nothing bad about them. They're very nice young ladies. I met them before, and they are doing fantastic musically and otherwise. Opening for some really big names. They've been on like Good Morning Philadelphia, is that it?
Yes.
And The Q Show and a whole bunch of other things. And so they are getting a lot of good play, a lot of praises from some very significant people. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And so who do we have right here joining us?
Well, you got Beyond,
mm-hmm.
and I'm Dominique Nicole.
Okay, and we are missing...
Miss J.
Yeah, we missed Miss J the last time. I understand
mm-hmm.
she is a hardworking young lady. and so the two of you holding it down, how was how did you guys meet and how did you form this group?
Well, actually, our manager, Ali, put us together. We were all solo artists beforehand, mm-hmm. and he always had the idea of Aviance. So once he found, you know, the artist that he were looking for, it was just magic ever since then.
Okay, so you guys didn't know each other?
No.
Not from a can of paint.
Oh, my goodness. So he put you three together, and did you know right away that this, hey, that really works? Or was it like, I don't know about this. I like my solo career. How did this happen?
You know, we all seen that something special was missing from the industry. So real pure singing, you know, no autotune, no
right.
Melodyne, like real from the heart. Music. So once we seen that in all of us, that's what we wanted.
Right.
We gelled perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, the description that I have is a Philadelphia-based girl group with R&B allure,
mm-hmm.
soulful voices, pop hooks, and hip-hop swag.
You know it.
All right. There it is. Well, listen, we are fortunate because we're going to get a chance to listen to one of your original songs here.
Yes.
It's called Dreamer.
Na 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 na. I remember watching the birds fly, thinking to myself, well, why can't I? Until I saw Wonder Woman in the sky. Then I figured, well, why not give it a try? Never been complacent with normalcy. Cut from a different cloth, so different defines me. I seem weird to the 9-to-5 and non-believers. That's why they label me a dreamer.
And I know that all of my life I've been a dreamer. Yeah.
That is Dreamer by Aviance. Beautiful song. Listen, great voices, great melody, great lyrics, great rhythm.
Thank you.
Kind of like the way music used to be. I can say that as an older guy. That's what older guys say, like, good like it used to be.
But you want to know one of the most surprising things is that people our age, you know, mm-hmm. younger people, they yes. feel the same way. They weren't back in the day,
right?
But they know something is missing. And so when we actually perform and we're up there with our charisma and our, you know, energy and just our good vibes, people gravitate towards that.
Yeah, yeah. What is it that you feel that your group is, and I know we talked about a little bit, but I want to go just a layer deeper. What is it that you are bringing to the people that's something that is missing, but how are you filling it in your way?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much how B said. A lot of people are missing the authenticity. Or how am I saying authenticity? I can't even get the word.
Authenticity.
Authenticity.
I got
Thank
it today.
You.
Yes.
That's actually what is missing. Because now I feel like music is going into a direction where it's a lot of distractions. You know, you have the big hair and the big dancers and the whole entertainment thing, which is good. You know, right. You always want to put on a show. But when you take all that away and you have to strictly just rely on your talent, are you still able to move that crowd? So that's what we're trying to bring back into the industry. And along with, you know, music that just genuinely feels good, along with a good message. A lot of people, especially nowadays, are going into the whole, you know, get money and, you know, we out here in the streets and, you know, we just gotta take that back a little bit.
Right, right.
And,
with,
you know,
with confidence, right?
With confidence.
Right. Not being a follower, just laying
exactly.
down who you are.
And it's like where we're from, we wanna let others out there know that, hey, yeah, we're in the inner city. But you have gifts, you have talents, you have goals, you have dreams. And so when we share with people our stories, where we almost lost our lives, where we almost, you know, had to live on the streets. And people see, like, oh, my God, I see a little bit of me in them, and right. yet they're still striving and still going after what they really want. That's what we're also delivering with our music.
How's it looking?
It's looking beautiful. It's looking great. It's looking, we're
right.
looking very blessed. A lot of opportunities, a lot of people we're meeting. It's amazing.
Right. I think I saw something just recently. I was skipping through Facebook, and I saw you with a guy that I know and like, Del P.
Hey, what do you know about Del P?
Are you doing something with Del P? Are you doing something with Del P? Del P was on this show.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
yeah, yeah.
Funny.
Good
guy. We were
actually
just with Del P.
Yeah, recording. Mm-hmm. You know,
okay,
some new music.
Fantastic.
You know, some things in the works.
Something's
going
to come out.
Yeah.
We'll see what it is, right? Adding a little something to your music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you focus? How do you, like, you know, kind of think about the creative side? And how do you figure out, like, we need this a little more edgy, we need this a little more soft, we're going to bring this out. How do you come to that point?
We just remember to have fun.
Okay.
You know, with Ali being our manager and yet our, you know, artist developer, he does kind of fine-tune things and kind of pushes us in the direction we need to go. But other than that, we're having fun. We remember what the industry is looking for. So we give people a little bit of what they want, but we never lose sight of what we're in it for. And if you lose sight of what you're in it for, then you'll be down by the wayside, just like, you know, you don't want to be that way. But, yeah, we're just having a good time. And
yeah, because it's a very tough, unforgiving industry. I mean,
very true.
Basically, there is no safety net here. Mm-hmm. And you make it or you don't make it, and it's very hard for people to make it.
And that's why you have to surround yourself with people who you love, who got your back, who you trust. Sometimes it's a thin line between people who you think you can trust and people who you think you cannot trust. But you just have to have faith. You know, you're going to come across people who are good and who are bad. But like I said, if you do everything right and you know you're in the right spot and you're around great people, the rest is whatever.
Yeah, and as long as you stay grounded and, like she said, and keep strong in your faith, as long as you pray about it, all of those people that aren't meant to be on your journey would just fall by the wayside regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Is faith a part of what you young ladies are about?
Definitely.
Absolutely. We went through a lot in our own personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sometimes it trickles in to what we're doing musically. And then one of us has to pull the other to the side, like, hey, what's going on? Like, let us know. How can we help you? How can we get you through this, because when you're going through something, we're all going through something. Mm-hmm. When you constantly look at the positives and try to just look at the negatives as a test, as an obstacle that you can just overcome, that's when faith really is, it hits hard.
Mm. And not only that, you know, we kind of use our music to channel whatever we're going through too. So right. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a situation that they can relate to. So whether we're going through something in our personal lives, 9 times out of 10, we'll put it in a song. And now, you know, everybody's bopping to it, but they can also relate to it as well.
Yeah, and you've been together 4 years now, is that
you
right?
You know it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you guys are like sisters. You know each other
like
very well.
We are.
All right. Now, for our listeners, how can they get in touch with you? How can they follow you? Where can they see you?
You can actually check out our website of Bad Girls of R&B. That's Bad Girls, letter R, letter N, letter B, .com. Or
you can follow us on all social media platforms. Aviance Music with the Q. That's AviAnce Music with the Q.
Okay. And just for our listeners, can you do a little a cappella right here now?
Let's get it. I freeze up every time you're around me. Lost for words, but boy, you can find me. Loving your walk, your smell, your smile, your eyes, your talk. Oh, baby, there's some things about you. How must I say it? What must I do to let you know? I dream about kissing you. Ow.
All right. Uh-oh, there's the applause. Okay. Now, that's just with two of you. With three of you,
it's
I'm sure.
Problem.
Oh,
you know
my
it's
goodness.
Going to go crazy.
Okay.
Bananas.
Fantastic. Well, you are doing so fantastic, and, we're proud of you, you know, right here from Philly, doing well, wishing you well. And listen, to all our listeners, you know, check them out. Aviance.
Yes.
Support them. Buy their music. You know, follow them and give them the love, right? Philly has got to have some love.
Philly support Philly.
All right, absolutely. Well, listen, stay tuned. We will be back from this commercial break with Brooke McDowell and Alpha Care.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk and march for babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, and we are back. Listen, was that not fantastic? We're listening to Aviance, and you can check them out, the Bad Girls of R&B, but they are so, so good. Anyway, I am now joined by Brooke McDowell. She is the Director of Advancement at Alpha Care. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Councilman O. Glad to be here.
Hey, my pleasure. Let's start with this. For our listeners, what is Alpha Care?
Alpha Care is a nonprofit with medical and social services that help pregnant women and new mothers here in Philadelphia.
And the services are free.
All free, yes.
Wow. And where are you located?
We have a bricks and mortar location at 38th and Lancaster Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually have a mobile medical unit.
Yeah, and I've been in that mobile medical unit. It is a very nice...
Outfitted Mercedes Sprinter van.
My goodness,
with
an
exam table. It's got a clinic license as well. And we go to different neighborhoods. Right now we've been parking it at Kensington and Allegheny, at North Philly, at 18th and Diamond, and then at Cottman and the Boulevard in the Northeast as well.
Yeah, it's so important. And so you could basically bring the facilities to a lot of poor neighborhoods.
Exactly.
Where the people may not go to a doctor's office or go to the hospital.
Exactly. A lot of the women that are coming to us for services, particularly on the mobile unit, are actually quite far along in pregnancy but haven't told anyone, haven't had that pregnancy confirmed, and certainly have not seen a doctor yet. And infant mortality rate is quite an issue here in Philadelphia, and often with medical conditions that could have been addressed earlier on in pregnancy. And so one of our key goals with the mobile unit is to help women identify that pregnancy and get them plugged into prenatal care with a doctor, considering what their insurance situation is, or some who don't have insurance helping
right,
them with that.
Right. And so free pregnancy tests, ultrasound, all those type of things are available to women through Alpha Care.
Yeah. And then we have professional social workers and then medical director, ultrasonographer, radiologists who help with the medical side of things. And then we have a social worker who works on staff helping women with situations like housing, making sure that the job situation if needed, helping them make a plan for their life to create a safe, healthy environment for the baby to come into,
right,
and helping them meet those goals that they've set for themselves.
Now, a lot of people listening may not have heard of Alpha Care because you're not some huge mega corporation.
We're not, although we've actually been around since 1981 and have helped over 16,000 families here in Philadelphia for decades.
And so for folks who want to, you know, get in touch with your services, maybe say, hey, we need that mobile unit to come up to our neighborhood, how do they reach out to you?
One of the best ways is our website, alphacarephilly.org. You can also always Google Alpha Care, and we've got a contact form on there. We do, particularly in the communities where we park, try to prioritize going to community events on Saturdays and things like that as we're able, health fairs or different churches or sometimes political folks will host events on the Saturday. Yes,
festivals,
especially
things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, I met you at a church community festival event in North Philadelphia.
Yeah, we were there again this year, the Epiphany Block Party.
Yeah,
so that's right near where we park. Epiphany's been kind of a partner organization. They let our staff use the bathrooms.
Wonderful. Well, that's a win-win.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to have these services out there? I mean, in today's world where there's so much technology on your phone and things like that, why do we need these services?
Well, I'll answer in twofold. One piece is just someone safe to talk to.
Right.
And both our nurses and staff have a lot of experience as well as mental health first aid training, mm-hmm. come from a trauma-informed perspective, and really work to create an environment where women can share about what their fears and concerns might be for going to the doctor, or what's going on in their personal life in terms of potentially an abusive situation or a trauma that's happened in their past.
Yes.
On the other hand, there are a lot of services and resources that exist in our city, and yet navigating them can be really difficult. And so that's where the social work arm comes to play. Not only do we have programs and services, but there's a lot that exists in the city to help women successfully parent, and so we work hard to help them navigate that.
Right. I mean, I remember in our prior conversations, of course, there are women who, by the time they're getting their pregnancy test and so forth, they are far more deep into their pregnancy than they had realized, and therefore they have not been doing the best for their child during that time. And of course, we're talking about poor communities, but we also talked about, for example, students who are here from another country, you know, getting their master's degree, and they suddenly realize they're pregnant.
Yeah, and those women don't always have insurance and not necessarily a don't have family in this country, might not have the father of the baby that's interested in being a part of the woman's life and the baby's life, and very isolating situation. So it's been, we were located for many years into Center City and moved to West Philly, wanted to be more intentionally a part of the community there where a lot of our clients were coming already, but also near the universities where we are seeing women as well. And during the time of that move was when I came on board. I'm a Philly resident, but have lived and gone to school in West Philadelphia for most of my life.
Yeah, you actually went with my nieces, right? I think you're a friend of a good friend of mine, Joyce Coe.
Oh, yes. Joyce is wonderful.
I was on her Facebook page kind of following like what she's up to, and I saw something like Brooke McDowell, and I said, I wonder if that's the same Brooke McDowell.
Joyce and I have so much fun together.
Okay. Fantastic.
We actually both grew up as pastors' children, so there's a lot of highs and lows stories we enjoy together.
Yes, the stories of PKs. I'm one too, so you know. Let me ask you this. I mean, you went to Wheaton College, right? And what was your major there?
I majored in business econ and communications. Honestly, thought that I might go more into brand marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated in 2008, right at the peak of the recession, where actually a few jobs I'd applied for, they decided not to hire because of companies' financial situations. Got a job for a marketing firm here in Philly called Schultz & Williams that works for nonprofits.
Right, okay.
And then wasn't there very long before was approached by the school where I actually attended with your nieces about coming in to be director of advancement there. And that means I was overseeing admissions, marketing, development, and it's a really fun learning experience there.
Yeah. Now, what attracted you to Alpha Care?
Well, you know, I had begun working at a university outside of the city and really enjoyed what I learned there, but my heart is in Philadelphia and working for Philadelphia residents, and I wanted to be working where I live and where I was living my life, and realized that I was feeling a disconnect from that with my job in the world of higher ed, and was really excited about the changes that were happening with AlphaCare. I arrived right when they were getting the mobile medical unit that we mentioned, right when they were actually doing a rebrand and when they were moving to West Philadelphia. And I thought, what a fun season to be a part of helping them establish relationships with the community there, to usher in some of these changes and help them grow, raise awareness for the good things that they're doing.
Now, did you approach them about, hey, I could be your director of advancement, or was that?
I actually did.
Yeah, yes. That's what I thought. They never told me that, but was, yes, but that's good. You are in your, what you call it, like Brain 3.0 we were talking about. But so you said, hey, look, here's this organization. I want to help them, and here's how I can help them, and they need my help.
Yeah, yeah. I had about 10 years fundraising experience, and, you know, they had talked about wanting to hire someone, but probably – from what I've heard from the executive director, didn't imagine they'd be able to hire someone with the experience that I had. And so I think she's expressed she was pretty excited when I approached them about coming to work there.
Kind of a win-win. Now, what has been the benefits to you personally of working at AlphaCare? Is it everything you hoped it would be?
You know, it has been. It is very fulfilling working so – and while I don't do client care, I work more on the community relations fundraising side. Seeing the direct impact that AlphaCare's work has on changing women's and families' lives for the long term. And while we might just be with them for a few weeks or sometimes a few years that women are a part of our program, it's really incredible hearing and seeing the stories of how this small organization makes such a big impact. You know, it is trying work as well, though, too. A lot of the stories of the women who come to us are hard, and we heard a bit about the trauma from the woman who was here earlier. Both from being in a refugee camp as well as just being in the inner city here and the violence that she was exposed to. A lot of those things are similar to the women who come through AlphaCare's doors. And so it's also there's a heaviness to the work that we do.
Right.
And so we have to be intentional about self-care as employees there as well.
Right. Now, when you say self-care, give me an example.
Well, for me, I actually join with a group of women on Friday mornings who have been a real encouragement in my life. I go over there at 7:30 before the workday begins.
Okay.
We spend time praying about some of the challenges and joys in our life. We'll kind of pray together, but also just share some laughs.
And that group
of women who come have been a huge encouragement and support in my life.
Oh, well, that's fantastic because, as you said, it's wonderful work. It's meaningful work, but yet it is very, very substantial work and comes with a lot of sadness and challenges. What has been your best experience?
I think I really take pleasure out of being with a new group of people and being able to share and speak about what's been happening and see them respond and say, how can I get involved? I think one of my favorite experiences actually was speaking on Penn's campus to a group of students there. And I shared a little bit about my own story as a college student and when I was working nearby on Penn's campus and kind of helping identify with the time of life where they are and sharing about what AlphaCare does and how we'd both love them to volunteer and serve and get involved with us, but that we're also here if they find themselves pregnant and need someone to talk to before they feel like they can call mom and dad or talk to someone else.
Right, right.
And the response from that group and the follow-up of the conversations and relationships after that was one of my favorite times while working at AlphaCare.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. And again, for people listening, it may be ringing a bell. Hey, I better check out AlphaCare. How do they find out about AlphaCare?
AlphaCarePhilly.org. You can see a bit more about our services there, but feel free to fill out the contact form. You can reach me directly there or refer a friend who might really benefit from AlphaCare services.
AlphaCare, and you are talking to Brooke McDowell. Now, your father is a pastor.
He is, yes.
And is he still pastoring?
He just retired after over 30 years at the end of December.
And he's in the area?
He is, yeah. He's in West Philly as well, actually.
Oh, okay. So not far. keeping an eye on you, I see.
He is. He and my stepmother have just undertaken fostering a baby. So he's got a new adventure in his life right now with that, being foster parents.
Okay, so you got a little sibling there.
I do. I did a little babysitting yesterday to help out.
All right, fantastic. And, you know, do you have any hobbies and things like that?
One of my favorite things is traveling. So I've been to...
Are you well-traveled?
Yes. My dad actually grew up in South America, so I think he never has totally felt at home in the States. And it's something people call a third culture kid, I think, sometimes.
Right, right.
And
okay. So
he loves to travel, gave me the opportunity to travel a lot while I was a kid to some unusual different countries that aren't usually on people's lists.
For example?
We did South Korea, Morocco, Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania. But off the beaten track, you know, never went on a cruise.
Yeah,
and
not the tourist location.
No, and, you know, Colombia, we'd be staying in locals' houses and eating home cooking, those type of things. And it wasn't until I was older I realized how valuable and neat those experiences were.
Well, certainly must be very enriching, but also something that has maybe caused you to feel, you know, like you miss those things. You like the interaction, the diversity, and mixing it up with people.
Yeah, you know, a lot of my father's work as a pastor was actually with internationals here in Philadelphia helping them connect to resources and people and create community here for them. So I grew up with folks from around the world in my home. There's so many universities here in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So it's obviously had a huge impact on who I am today and the things that I care about.
Is there a special interest that you're holding on to these days while you work, like for helping women in particular?
Certainly. I think being a woman myself, and while I haven't undergone a lot of the experiences the women have, I feel like there's so many times in my life where just a small path change could have put me in that situation.
Yes.
And so I very much... love and doing what I can to support women and I'd say also children here in Philadelphia. I really value the opportunities and experience I have to serve in that way.
For people who want to help, where can they make their contribution or their donation?
AlphaCarePhilly.org. We've got a donate button. We'd love for you to use it.
Yep.
All of our services are provided free of charge to the women and families who come to us, and we are fully privately funded. So
you know, a faith-based organization and doing lots of good work. And so certainly, you know, if you like what you're hearing, if you need the services, get in touch with Alpha Care. You want to make a contribution? That works too.
Yeah, appreciate that plug because it definitely is needed.
Okay, well, Brooke, thank you very much for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, listen, you have been listening to In the Know with David O. Our wonderful guests, Zwei Kwok, Aviance, and, of course, Brooke McDowell of Alpha Care. Tune in next week for In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.